Welcome to the C-Suite Mentor, the place where you will learn the tools, strategies, and mindset to scale your business sustainably and build a lasting legacy. I'm your host, Teresa Cantley. As a fellow CEO, I understand what it takes to scale a business to seven and multiple eight figures. It's not necessarily what you might think. It requires a complete shift in how you think, strategize, and execute key actions in your business. My mission is to help CEOs step back into the driver's seat of their business by optimizing their operations, empowering their team, and staying in total alignment with their big vision. So, are you ready to exchange everything that hasn't worked for strategies that will? You're in the right place. Welcome. I am so happy to have my friend Jera on the podcast today. Thank you for joining us on the C-Suite Mentor podcast. I am just like so excited. I wanted to have her on for a while, and I know she's got a super busy schedule. If you've been to or went to Social Media Marketing World recently, you probably saw her there. She is an amazing speaker. She is an amazing person. She's super kind. And I'm, like I said, I'm just so, so happy to be here. So welcome, Jera.
Yay, Teresa. Thank you for the lovely introduction. I'm so happy to be here.
So I have a question for you before we get started, because I've always wondered this. I know like your quote unquote real name is Jera Foster Fell. but you also, your website is Jera Bean. Your social media handle is Jera Bean. So where does Jera Bean come from?
When I was very young, my mom always called me Jera Bean, Bean, JB for short, for Jera Bean. So that's been a nickname for a really, really long time. And Bean came into the social media world when I created my first Instagram account, which is the same account that I use today. It was originally Workout Bean when I was in my fitness days. And then that's how I got started on social media. Then I decided to leave the fitness world and make a lot of different pivots over the years, which I'm sure we can get into. But when I left the fitness world, I changed from Workout Bean to Jera Bean so that there was still that connection there, but I had my name in it, which was much more likely to kind of, regardless of any pivot, Jera Bean could always be there versus Workout Bean was very specific. And then as things have progressed, I've kept Jera Bean, but something that I kind of like is that it puts a little bit, like a wall isn't a right word. Mm-hmm. It's more of a little bit of separation from like the real Jera and the professional Jera that I'm putting out into the world. So I kind of like that I'm Jera Foster Fell and like my professional identity is Jera Bean.
Gotcha. Gotcha. I always wondered, I mean, and it's, you want to hear something funny? I don't think I ever told you this because I didn't know where Jera Bean came from. So I was like, okay, like I'm going to ask the question, but do you want to hear something funny? My sister is 2 years older than me. And my sister, when I was younger, used to call me Bean.
No way. Mm-hmm. I love that connection. That's great.
She used to call me other stuff too, but
yeah. I feel like Bean's a really cute nickname. Like I've heard a lot of people have that over the years. So just like, yeah, that's super cute.
That's so funny. Oh my gosh. All right. So now I know where Jera Bean came from.
We've laid the foundation down.
So I met Jera last year. We were in a mastermind together with Jasmine Starr, which was absolutely phenomenal. And it was funny because I have it here somewhere in my office. I have a vision board, and on the vision board is like Jasmine, because I always wanted to meet her because I had been following her, you know, for so long and really learned a lot from her in social media and everything. And then, you know, I had like to meet Lewis Howes and Amy Porterfield and Jasmine on my vision board. And I kept saying to myself for years, as soon as she opens up a mastermind, I am on it.
Yes.
She told me they opened it up and literally like she like posted it and literally like 10 minutes later, they got my application.
Oh my God. Action taker. I love it.
Exactly. But I met Jara last year, and like I said, Jara is a super sweet, super kind person, which I will talk about how Jara has helped me in my business. But I found out she has a love of pesto and pasta, which oh, yes. is my favorite thing. A love one. Of crackers and cheese, which again is another one of my favorite things. And a love of rescue dogs.
Yes.
Which I have two rescue dogs as well. So, Jarrett, tell us a little bit about your story, how you got started. I mean, I know your story, but as we talked about before we jumped on here, I love people and I love to hear their stories. My grandfather used to say to me, my grandparents were Ukrainian, and my grandfather used to say, Teresa, he would call me Teresa, you talk too much. You ask too many questions. Because I wanted to hear, because he had so many stories, you know, I wanted to hear, you know, more about like the story. So let's hear about you. So how did you get started? What's your background? Let's hear it.
Absolutely. And feel free to stop me at any point. Like if I'm going on too long or you want me to go into more detail, because, you know, there's a lot of different chapters and pivots to cover. So I would say, like, in a nutshell, the high-ish level overview, born in New York City, born and raised, lived there most of my life, like in Manhattan. I am a true New Yorker. Wow. And I have always been creative in some way or another. And so when I went to college at USC in Los Angeles, initially I was undeclared. And I kind of just fell into majoring in fine art. Like I had no plans. Like I thought maybe creative writing, maybe French, because I had taken French for years. I had lived in France for a year in high school. But I ended up focusing on fine art as my major. And so when I graduated, I had an emphasis in graphic design. And I was living in LA still. I was working at different, like an advertising agency and different startups. End up moving to Boston at the time, lived there for a couple of years. And I look back at that time as a pretty sad chapter. I was so new to the workforce. This is like my early 20s. And I ended up falling into this job that seemed really positive at the time. It was this fashion startup. I'm like, how cool is this that I'm doing graphic design at a fashion startup? There's like three of us who work there. And what happened was it was the most manipulative job. I was just like, I don't even know what the word was, but I guess manipulated is a good word. I was just worked to the bone 7 days a week, like the amount of things I was expected to do outside of graphic design. And I was probably making, in terms of my salary, like maybe $25,000 a year. But then of course, you know, with taxes, I was like making, I was broke.
So
I have this very specific memory of going to WeWork, where we worked, and looking in the mirror and parting my hair one day. I was just kind of fixing my hair. And I saw this little bald patch on my head. And at the time I was like, oh, that's interesting. I have a little bald patch on my head. But I didn't really, I don't know. I was so naive at the time. But I say all of this to kind of set up this challenging time where I'm at this manipulative job, hair's falling out. I realized I was struggling with social anxiety at the time. Thankfully, started to see a therapist to help me with that. Didn't really have friends because I was just working so hard. And so if we fast forward to 2015, I had been following a woman online on Instagram for about a year. Her name is Kayla Itsinas. And she had a program at the time that was picking up a lot of steam. It was called BBG, awful name, Bikini Body Guide. Oh. And yeah, I like roll my eyes. I'm like, Bikini Body Guide, give me a break. But whatever, at the time it was this huge thing. And I had been admiring for the year that I had been following her, these women who, you know, would do the guide and do it for 12 weeks, do it for 24 weeks. And they would have these really amazing changes to their body. And I was like, I want that to be me. So on April 4th, I remember the day so specifically, April 4th, 2015, I downloaded this workout guide. I went to the gym. I created my Instagram account, Workout Bean, that I mentioned just a few moments ago, and started to use this account as a tool to hold me accountable as I did this workout program. But what was, you know, at the time, I had no intention of gaining a following. No one even used the word influencer. Content creator certainly didn't exist. And so in a matter of like 2 weeks, maybe it was 4 weeks, I think I gained like 2,000 followers, which in the current day is a nice chunk of followers. But in the back in that time, like 2,000 followers was like mind-blowing. And I had no intention of doing that. So it sort of started to snowball where, in a really positive way, where I'm like, here I am doing this workout program that's making me feel good. And I have this creative outlet through Instagram. And all of a sudden, I'm connected to this community of women where in real life, I felt very disconnected and didn't have that. So that year ended up just being wild in that I grew to like, I don't even know, 30, 50,000 followers in a year, something like that. I became this like fitness influencer. I became this like BBG gal. Like people knew me associated with BBG. I fell in love with fitness. It became my life. I got my NASM certification to become a personal trainer. I ended up not doing anything with that because what happened was I became a SoulCycle instructor. That was a whole chapter. I had to audition. I didn't make it through the first audition. I auditioned weeks later, got through, got accepted to the 10-week training program, failed the 10-week training program, had to redo the 10 weeks a second time. And then I'm like, I know, it was like crazy. And at the same time, I'm like an Adidas ambassador and I'm traveling the world with Adidas and other gals who are like fitness influencers. So I give all that detail to show how transformative and how pivotal that year of 2015 and beyond was for me in helping me pivot away from something I hated into something that I felt passionately about that really laid the foundation for what was ahead.
Do you want to know something? You want to know something? When I went to college, I didn't know what I wanted to go to school for. So I ended up, I love to sew. So I went to fashion design school.
Oh my goodness.
And it's funny because I got out of it because so many people who I met because I wanted to go to FIT up in New York. I ended up at a school at Philly Textile in Philadelphia. But so many people that I knew that were graduating had the same experience that you had. Wow. It was making, I mean, I knew one of my friends was living in New York City making, and this was back in 97.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 96 or 97. She was making $18,000 a year living in New York City in a shoebox.
Oh yeah.
And working ungodly hours. And it is funny because that industry is just so cutthroat, unfortunately. I mean, I love the world of fashion, but yeah, that industry is just so challenging. So absolutely. The fact that, you know, you were there and instead of staying in an environment like that, you said, you know what, there's something better for me.
Yeah.
And you pivoted.
And big then, time.
Yeah, big time. And, you know, started to find, and this really kind of sets up like how when, you know, we make the decision to do what's right for us and to step into our greatness and to really say, you know what, this isn't working. I'm going to follow my gut instinct or my heart and try something different and pivot. The universe totally gets behind your back. So, all right, continue. I'm sorry. I just had to insert that.
No, please stop and join in at any time. So fitness is what changed everything, but kind of as quickly as fitness came, like fitness left, interestingly enough, I became a SoulCycle instructor, which I had really put on a pedestal. Like at the time, fitness was like this revolution. Instagram was on the rise. And so all these different aspects came together to like put fitness on a pedestal. And at the time, SoulCycle in general was on this pedestal. So being an instructor in my eyes was like the be all end all. And I worked so hard to become one. And the reality is, I think with anything that you put on a pedestal and then you achieve it or it becomes your reality, it's not what you thought it was. And so I learned a very important lesson to like not, or at least to try to not do that to anything or anyone. Being a SoulCycle instructor was amazing in so many ways. I think it really helped build my confidence. I attribute a lot of what my experience as a SoulCycle instructor to help me with like public speaking, to thinking on the fly, to leading a room, to like creating an experience. So there were times too where like I get chills thinking about it when the room was full and it was like a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning and your playlist is epic and everyone's flowing. It is like the most incredible feeling in the world. So there were moments that were so epic and so like life altering. However, the reality of it, you know, I'm teaching 7 days a week. Sometimes I'm teaching three triples in a row. I used to teach a triple on Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And my Sunday would start at 8:30 a.m. And then my Monday last class was like 8 p.m. And so it just rips you apart. And then there's so many classes when you are not teaching a full room. And so it's not that a full room was the be all end all, but when you are constantly having to bring so much energy and probably burning thousands of calories a day and like not able to keep up nutritionally, it was a lot. And so I got to a point where I'm like, this is not what I thought it was. It was really hard to leave. But in April 2018, that's when I left. So I really only taught for about a year and a half, which isn't very long, even though I was like, it was like a year of prep to become a SoulCycle instructor. But leaving that was a very significant end of a chapter and beginning to a very in-between chapter, because I was a full-time influencer. I was making my full-time income via brand partnerships, which I had really built up by then. So it wasn't like, oh, and now I need to figure this out. Like I was fine with where I was at and continuing on that way. But I think without having fitness in my life, I didn't have that pillar of my identity. And so having to create content in a different way, and then also just not knowing what was next. I remember having a really specific moment where I was on an Adidas trip and there was probably at least 20 other Adidas women there. And everyone went around to kind of introduce themselves if they hadn't met yet. And everyone had to say what they did and like who they are, what they did. And every single other person there had something else, like business-wise. They were, you know, they had their own brands. They were leading retreats. They had digital products and clothing lines. And I was there and like, I had nothing. Now, comparison, you know, that can be a really sneaky thing. So I'm not saying.
Oh, I know so well.
Like comparison can be a negative thing sometimes. But I think in that scenario, it was helpful where I was like, well, what the hell am I doing next? Am I going to be, I don't know, I was probably towards the end of my 20s at that point. And I'm like, am I going to be an influencer when I'm 40, when I'm 50? Like what's my next step? And so that in between time was really hard. I had a lot of anxiety around what the heck to do next. And I am not like a big picture person. Like I don't really like to step out and like think 5 years ahead, 10 years ahead. Like what's my business plan? Like, I don't freaking know. Like that's just, I'm a creative. Like I like to be in the moment, like making things. So this brought me to the end of 2019 where I hired a business coach. And that, again, pivotal moment, because she is the one who helped me step into the world of social media coaching and education where I am today. And she is the reason I created my first product ever, which I look back on it now, I'm like, wow, this took a lot of courage for this to be my product, first product ever. I created a high ticket group coaching program as like the first thing I ever did, which is like wild.
Go big or go home.
I know. And I couldn't believe it. It was called the Social Media Saloon. It was a 12-week group coaching program. I actually enrolled 22 people in my first cohort. I ran it for a little over three years, 7 cohorts total. I think by the end, I had over about 250 students across those 7 cohorts. But that really was the reason I pivoted from being a lifestyle influencer into who I am today. And it was because of the salon and me running that, that in early mid 2020, I started to get requests for like virtual speaking and being in people's group coaching programs as a guest and more podcasts and panels. And then the following year or so, once the world started opening back up, that's what led me into speaking more so in person. So, and then the last tidbit, just because this one is probably important to show you how all the things connect. At the end of 2019, as I was starting the social media salon, adjacent or a parallel to that, I started my TikTok account before TikTok was really big. And in 2020, all of a sudden we're in the world of COVID and we're at home and TikTok explodes. So in a matter of, I think it was like 360 days, it was like just before the 1 year mark, I hit 1 million followers on TikTok, which was very new at the time. And so people saw me as, okay, Jarrah is teaching social media and coaching. Look at her growing on TikTok. And then I had a connection from my SoulCycle days. I had no idea. He was one of my riders, but he's like super high up in the marketing field at Estee Lauder. And so with my social media that I was promoting and teaching and my rise at TikTok, he said, can you come in virtually at the time to Estee Lauder to teach our hundreds of ambassadors across the world about TikTok? And that is really what opened so many doors for me, if we're kind of fast forwarding to current day. But it blows my mind that I had this connection at SoulCycle and he continued to follow me. And that connection led to something completely different in this new role that I stepped into with what I just described. So yeah.
You know, they say, I've heard this so many times, that you have already met the person that's going to help you make $1 million.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, I've heard that so many times. I think the first time I ever heard it, I was at like a Brendon Burchard event, like back in 2016.
Yeah.
And and since then, I've heard it multiple times that you've already met that person that is going to be your guide and that is going to help you make $1 million and is going to like change the trajectory of your life.
Whoa, very
cool.
You
just got to figure out who it is.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So I have a question. So you've done a lot of training with big businesses. I know yes. Estee Lauder was one of them. So we look at this, and you started off as a fitness influencer, and then you moved into social media coach with a group coaching program.
Yes.
And then you started going into, because like going in and teaching Estee Lauder or some of the other, I mean, you were just at a hair company.
Wella. Yep.
Wella. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. You see, my hair dye used to be from that, my hair color. but you know, you stepped into this whole new realm of like, I mean, that's high ticket, like taking group coaching. It's group coaching on a whole another level.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and it's just like the way that your journey has gone, and then, oops, almost knocked over my mic. And then I was just getting so excited about talking about this. I talk with my hands and I'm not even Italian.
Oh, me too.
I'm not even Italian. So, but then you ended up going into speaking. Like you speak in front of tons of people, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you had a bit of a phobia about speaking, about public speaking.
Yeah.
Right?
Big time. If we go back to my days of that job that was really manipulative and not great, that's when I realized I was struggling from social anxiety. And sometimes I have these distinct memories where this company would like do these events kind of just as a promotional thing, like get people in the city to come and like hear about us, and the clothes are on display, which there's nothing wrong with that. But when you are already working insanity hours, and then you have to like attend these events, and then you're someone who's dealing with social anxiety. It was a lot. And so I would have these moments where I would have to mix and mingle with people. And because of my anxiety, like it really manifested through my body physically, like via heat. So I would heat up, my face would start to get hot. I would feel like a little bit of sweat break out. And then with these types of things, it's just like this snowball effect where you feel hot. And so then now you have more anxiety, and then you have more anxiety. So you're going to start to sweat. And so I'd have to make this excuse to like, I got to go to the bathroom, or, I need to make a call. Like I would awkwardly exit conversations because I was so fearful of just starting to sweat. So at the time, like I struggled to even speak to one person, or we would have team meetings where it was three or four of us, and my heart would just race as we went in a circle and updated each other about the tasks we were doing that week. So it was really hard. And I will say I got help for the social anxiety, which was really helpful in a lot of ways, but I just see several steps along the way that helped with the public speaking, like being a fitness influencer and having to go to events. And then there was at one point where we had a BBG event where I, with my NASM certification, like I was on the mic and I led everyone through a workout. Or with Adidas events, we would constantly have to be on camera and put on the spot. And all these little things just were building blocks to my ability to be able to speak. And then I think SoulCycle, I mean, I was having to public speak in front of whether it was two people coming to my class that day, which actually was my smallest class ever, to a room of like 65 people, which was a full room. So it's not something that happened and got easier overnight. I really attribute it to so many small building blocks along the way. And that's not to say that I am perfectly cured. Like you should have seen me at Social Media Marketing World, which was exactly a week ago. I was speaking today on stage last week. And the 2 days leading up to it, like my stomach's in knots. Like I have an Aura ring and you can track your heart rate. Like the first room I entered into on Monday, just as an attendee listening, I saw how big the room was. And like I looked at my Aura ring stats and like my heart rate just shot through the roof, imagining myself up on the stage. So I still really battle the nerves. It doesn't go away, but I think the experience gives me the confidence like, okay, I know I can do it, even though I'm really nervous.
That's so funny. I used to teach, I was in martial arts for 17 years.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah. So, and part of it was how I got into it was I started teaching kickboxing.
Cool.
This was back in 96.
Okay.
And I remember the first time they ever wanted me to teach, especially when I started teaching Taekwondo, when I started teaching guiding classes when I became a black belt, I hated the sound of my voice. So getting like, and he was like, you need to get up there, you know, and that helped me to be able to speak in front of people. And that definitely, so I agree with you, like just the experience of it and kind of, cause I didn't like the sound of my voice. And I also, when I would get up in front of people, it wasn't like I was like, oh, you know, they're not going to like what I have to say. It was, I'm going to lose what I'm going to say. And then I'm going to sound silly. And then, you know, but I think, you know, definitely teaching and going through that, I mean, that helped me with public speaking. And I mean, now if you ever hear Dara talk, whether she's on like a webinar, a masterclass, or live, you'd never know that you ever had, because she's entertaining. I mean, I pulled this from your website. You have three things on your website: hard work, which we can see she's done the hard work. Authenticity, and again, if you've ever met Jara or have seen her on social media, just her posts and everything, she is absolutely 1,000% authentic. And then the last one is humor.
Definitely.
So, and the humor, like I said, I've told you this before, your hair story about your nose is like the best.
So I use that pretty often now, which I'll never forget. The first time I used it was the very first keynote I ever did in front of, like, I think it was 300 people in real life and like another 1,000 were tuning in virtually. And I'm like, this is such a huge risk to start off a keynote like this, but I'm going to take it. And fortunately it worked. And because of that, I use it all the time now.
Oh my God. I remember the first, when we were first in the mastermind and I attended, you were doing a new master. It was either a new masterclass, yes, or you were partnering with somebody.
Yes.
And you told that story. And I was like, oh my God, I want to be like her.
And you know what's so funny? I love that you had that reaction, which makes sense because, like, we get along so well. But I could also see someone having the complete opposite reaction where they're like, this is disgusting. And for anyone who's listening, the one sentence or like several sentence summary is that years ago I had a pain on the outside of my nose that was there for weeks. It really hurt. I couldn't figure out what it was. There was no red mark. It wasn't a pimple. But then weeks later, a red mark did develop. And like a month or two later, I was able to pop it and a black little hair came out. And so my guess is that it was an ingrown nose hair traveling from the inside of my nose to the outside of my nose, which is why it hurt for so long and I couldn't see anything. So that's the nose hair story, but I kind of draw it out a lot longer than that when I'm telling it. But what I was saying, like, someone else might go, this story is disgusting. How dare you tell it? Like, TMI, this has nothing to do with social media. Like, I hate Jarrah. And that could be a total real reaction, but I like stories like that. And I like showing up in my authenticity because if someone has that reaction, you're not my person. Like, yeah, we're not going to get along. You don't want to work with me. You're not going to want to follow me. So great. I'll be that magnet attracting people like you towards me who like the nose hair story and then repelling the wrong people away. And that's not me being rude. It's not like, oh, like, you don't matter. Like, go away. It's just like, oh, we're not the right match. So there is, yeah, a better match out there for you. And I'm just not that person for you.
Well, and it's so funny that you brought that up because, I mean, that is one thing that you've taught me, is just showing up authentically exactly as you are. Like, and there are going to be people who like it and there are going to be people who don't like it. Mm-hmm. And that's okay either, yes, way. You know, it's great either way. And Jarrah was so gracious during the mastermind. You know, I was just doing some different things on social media and, you know, she really got in there with me and said, okay, here's how you can be more authentic. Here's what you can do here, and gave me these amazing ideas and really helped me to fine tune even how I was showing up on social media. Because for the longest time, I mean, full transparency, I was super afraid because, yeah, being a business coach, there's people out there who have MBAs. There's people out there who have, you know, PhDs and they're business coaches. There's people who have worked for these huge consulting firms. And I'm like, I can't compete against that.
Yeah.
But the one thing that you taught me was it doesn't matter about all that stuff because you have your own uniqueness. And that's what we need to bring out. And that's why people are going to be connected to you. So I think because the world right now, you know, people are telling you, as I hear it a lot, is you need to be more authentic online. But then there's so many people that you run into every day that are posturing or that are not authentic. What would be your advice to someone who says, who's either afraid or like to be authentic online and to really show up as themselves? Yeah. Number one, what would be your advice to them to do that? To really step into being authentic? And then number two, what is also the advice? Because I've run into this with the people who are not authentic and you end up getting backlash for certain things. Like, what would be your advice in both arenas?
So let's tackle the first one first, because what happens is...
I know, that was a big question.
Yeah. No, we'll hold off on the second one. The first one, we'll dive into that to begin with, because what I find these days on social media is people give the advice to show up authentically. And I used to give that advice as well. The issue is when someone says, show up authentically, it's well-intentioned. I have no issues with someone saying that. However, it's really incomplete advice, because if I go tell Sarah, hey, Sarah, you know what we need to do? You really need to show up authentically. Sarah goes, okay, awesome. Sarah sits down. She's like, all right, I'm going to make a post where I'm showing up really authentically, or I'm about to hit record and I'm going to say something authentic. Well, then you just freeze, because it's like, well, wait, what do I share? How, like, I want to show up authentically, but how do I actually do it? What's the balance? What makes sense to share about my personal life? What makes sense to share about my business? Is there like a ratio here? And so what I found over the last 4 years of teaching social media and showing up authentically within that plays a really big role, is that there has to be additional steps beyond just the phrase show up authentically. It's taken about, well, I think it's maybe, it took 3 years to develop it. So a lot went into this framework, but I decided there has to be some sort of framework for showing up authentically. And I call this the four quadrants of secret sauce. Secret sauce just being a fun, memorable phrase for essentially authenticity. The four quadrants of secret sauce make showing up authentically more tangible, more actionable, and it also gives you more agency around it. So allow me to explain. There are four quadrants. We have foundational secret sauce, we have personal, we have professional, and we have lighthearted secret sauce. Each one represents a different type of authenticity. So foundational secret sauce means you are focusing more on the past. What is the journey that has led you to where you are today? What are the chapters? What are the pivots? A lot of what I shared at the beginning of our conversation, that is foundational secret sauce. The things that happened in your past that have brought you to where you are today. Then we have personal secret sauce, and that focuses more on you in the present moment. Who are you right here, right now? What are your hobbies? What are you doing on the weekends? Family, pets. It can be a range of things in the present moment, because we have good in the present moment and we have bad in the present moment. And what you might find is some of the really good things and some of the really bad things in the present moment might be personal secret sauce here and now, but then they might graduate to actually become foundational elements of secret sauce. But having that distinction allows you to go, okay, what was the past parts of me that make me me, and what's going on in the present moment? So those are our first two. Then we have professional secret sauce, and that is focusing on you as the entrepreneur, as the business, as the professional. What are your values? What is your philosophy? What are the things that you do that are unique? Your processes, your frameworks, your approach, your perspective. Why are clients or customers coming to you over someone else or another business who's very similar to you and what you do? And then lastly, my personal favorite, we have lighthearted secret sauce. And lighthearted is really as it sounds. It's going to be the silly, the goofy, the random. I would say like my nose hair story is kind of lighthearted secret sauce. Cheese and crackers you mentioned in the beginning, like loving pesto pasta, like me being obsessed with the Backstreet Boys. Like this is all lighthearted. And it's just anything that's like going to make you laugh, anything that's just kind of like silly and goofy, wacky, et cetera. I will say that we have each of these quadrants. It's okay if you feel like one of the quadrants like blends into the other. Like maybe you think, oh, is this lighthearted or is this personal? Honestly, these are all inward facing tools. So if you're like, maybe it's both, that's totally okay. It's not black and white. However, these are simply just starting points to get you thinking about authenticity in slightly different ways. Because once we're able to essentially put a name to these different types of authenticity, it then makes it more tangible, and then it makes it more actionable in terms of what we share on social media. And not only does it make it more tangible and actionable, but it also gives us choice. So a lot of people feel that in order to show up authentically, they need to share, oh gosh, every single part of myself, and I don't want to. I want to, you know, have some boundaries. You can show up in one single quadrant, let's say professional, or let's say foundational, and say personal and lighthearted, doesn't make sense for my business, or maybe it doesn't make sense for my comfort level, you can not show up in those two quadrants and stick to professional and foundational, and you're still showing up in an authentic way. So that's the framework in a nutshell.
So good. And when Jara was helping me, those are that was the framework that you taught me, if I can get my words out here. That's what she taught me. And because I was always going towards, you know, trying to be authentic and always going towards one thing. And we started to kind of mix in other things, and I'm a work in progress.
Oh, we all are
still working on it. But I'll tell you what, that was like magic. To hear that.
Because
I mean, so many people are like, yeah, you need to like show up authentic, just be you. Well, it isn't really me to like, even though I can dance, I'm a great dancer, if I might say so myself, I'm not going to dance. I don't necessarily want to dance on camera.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not as great as you. You're a better dancer than me.
I'm not a great dancer, but thank you.
But that was, I mean, it really made sense when she broke it down. And I think the thing that's so amazing about you is that you see people as individuals. Mm. You don't look at it and blanket everybody with the same thing, which I think going through a lot of programs that I've been through, that is what tends to happen.
Yeah.
Is here's what you need to do, and it's blanketed to everybody. Instead of really trying to say, okay, here's the framework, but let's see how we can make it unique to you.
Yeah.
And I think that's definitely one thing that makes you different, you know, as a coach, from my perspective, as a coach, as a mentor, as somebody who has created programs, that you really see people as individuals.
Thank you.
Give them a framework to work in, but you also let them, you give them that space to rise to their own unique greatness.
Yeah.
And that's what really shows through, you know, when they're putting out content.
Oh my gosh. I don't know if anyone's ever said that to me specifically. So thank you. And I'm going to log that under my professional secret sauce. So that's awesome. Thank you.
Absolutely have to. Absolutely. So let's go to the second part of my question, because I think this is a big, like I said, as Levy Jones says in her book, there's a lot of people walking around with their eyes shut. So people who, you know, you are trying, you're out there in the ring and you are building your business. And when you become an entrepreneur, you are stripping away everything and putting yourself out there. And you get these people who are not in the ring, who are not doing the work, who either make comments or say things or criticize, or even you end up running across people who are not authentic.
Mm.
How do you deal with, like, what do you do to deal with all of that? Because I think I've seen it a lot out there. I mean, I went through a period, this is just one extreme, but I went through a period with Facebook where every time I was doing weekly shows, and every time I would do a weekly show, I had this group of trolls that would come on and make fun of my hair. They were like, and apparently it was a known thing and Facebook wouldn't shut them down, but they would tell me, you're going to laugh. They would tell me that I look like Napoleon Dynamite, because my hair, when it gets big, it gets big. It has its own zip code. So, but they would like make comments, or then I would have people who would, you know, just send messages saying, you don't know what you're talking about, or, and it made me come off Facebook. So in a world where we're trying to really, and people, there are people out there who are craving, they want to know who you are as a human. But then there are other people who kind of ruin it.
Yeah.
So what is your advice? Being somebody who, you know, is out there, is well known on social media, like, what is your advice to kind of combat that?
It's funny. I'm constantly going through my camera roll. I have about between videos and photos, about 100,000 and maybe 110,000 photos and videos on my phone, because like I don't delete anything, and I'm constantly taking screenshots and screen recordings and videos, like between content and courses. So I was looking for something to include in my upcoming course, and I came across a screenshot that I'd taken a couple years ago. I think it was from maybe 2018, of a comment I saw, I don't know, on a blog, on a forum. And it was something along the lines of, does anyone else hate follow Jarabeen? Yeah. And I will say I know exactly when that time frame was. It was like in that in-between phase where I was in the more influencer sphere. I'd left fitness. I hadn't gone into the world of social media coaching and education yet. So I was feeling pretty lost. I also had like a moment, like a little wild child moment. Like, for example, I got my nipples pierced and I told everyone about it. And like... I can think of this like 2 month period where I just went a little wild, not in like a bad way. It was like pretty harmless, but I was just having fun. And so they said, does anyone else hate follow Jarabeen? You know, she's doing these dances. I used to do a daily dance. That was just totally silly and goofy. Like she does these dances. She got her nipple pierced. Like, I just don't get it. And it's funny, I just came across that yesterday. Like I have it, for whatever reason, I have it screenshotted in my phone. I should just delete that. But it just reminds me how over the years I haven't gotten a ton of stuff. I will say I'm lucky. Like I'm not constantly trolled. I don't constantly get awful messages, but sometimes I'll, you know, that I will say, to come across something that has been said about you, but not to you, hurts a lot more than like someone DMing something mean. That being said, I've gotten DMs, people telling me I'm fake and reasons why they're unfollowing me. I remember in my early coaching days, I got a message from like kind of an account that they clearly created just as like their spam account, because I didn't know who they were, like telling me that I'm a fake and a phony and I'm scamming people. So anyways, all of that is to say, I certainly know what that feels like to get not nice things sent to you or said about you. And what I try to always remember is there's like two options. You can either stay in option A, where you are in this like really protected sphere. And in this protected sphere, you're never doing anything. You're not putting yourself out there. You're not creating content. You're not building your business. You're just staying where it's really, really safe and protected. And no one can ever say anything about you because you're not putting out anything that anyone could say anything about. Or we have option B, where you're leaving that protected zone because you are putting yourself out there, whether that's you, whether that's your content, your business, your products, your point of view, your opinions, whatever it may be. And as soon as we put anything out into the world, we are susceptible to people's comments and thoughts, for better and for worse. But I rather be in that scenario B, where I am taking steps forward, building my personal brand, building my business, thinking about my future, making money, because that's a part of it too. Like, we have to support ourselves, and not let what people could say and what people do say hold me back from taking those steps. Because honestly, it's inevitable. Everyone has an opinion. You could be the ripest, juiciest peach in the whole world, and there's still going to be someone who hates peaches. So that's the angle that I try and take. Now, that's not to say it's not really hard. Like, I am very sensitive. I have thin skin. Like, I really look up to anyone who's able to let those things just roll off of them, because when I do get something, usually it's like this physical sensation in my body that lasts at least a day, if not a week, and it's really hard for me to let go. So I don't say this as someone who's like, just, oh yeah, it used to affect me and now it doesn't, but I try and keep that higher level picture or scenario in mind as something to really ground myself.
So good. So good. I know, even when I had my first business, my business partner and I, we had a brick and mortar retail store. And I know so many people tried to sabotage what we were doing or make comments about what we were doing. And she was so good. I mean, she passed away, but she was like amazing, where like she just was like, you know what? You can't let anybody else tell you who you are. Like, you, like, we just need to be who we are. And I would be like, I know, but they said, what, did you see what they said? And yeah. She's like, who cares?
Oh, that's amazing.
Just keep going. Like, yeah. we have this dream. We're going to make it happen. Like, so what? They don't like the name of the store, Armario. Oh, well. Like,
yeah. What an incredible attitude and approach to have. Like, I'm very jealous in a good way of that being able to see things like that. That's such a superpower, I think.
Yeah, she was, I mean, Vanessa was amazing. And really, like, she was the one that really helped me to start using my voice more. And she used to always say that we were the yin and the yang. Like, she was, so in Hindu, there's Lakshmi and there's Kali.
Okay.
And they're goddesses. And Lakshmi is the goddess of prosperity and love and kindness. And Kali is the goddess of war. And she's very fierce. And so Vanessa was Kali. And she bought me a necklace, which was Lakshmi.
Oh.
So, because she used to say, she's like, I need a little bit more of you. And she's like, and she goes, and I want you to have more of me so that, and even, you know, as she got sick, and we would have conversations about what I was doing in my coaching business and different things that were happening. And she was like, you just need to be you. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, just be you and just keep like, keep doing what you're doing and keep moving forward.
Yeah.
And, I mean, those, the words that she used to say like ring true every day. So every time I doubt myself, I always think about her. So
that's beautiful.
And the things that she used to say.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's tough. So I hear you. I hear you with the thin skin.
Yeah.
So I got a question.
Sure.
What's next? What is next as we wrap this up?
What is next?
What is next?
What a question. And such a great one, because the last year, 2023, was such a awful, as I know you know, we don't have to get into it, awful year for me personally. And then business-wise, I took a big step back from, for example, running my group coaching program, the Social Media Saloon, which had been such a big pillar within my business for so long. But I really needed to like revamp that and reconsider the role that that played in my business, which is a whole other topic. But because of that, I feel like I've been almost like a bow and arrow, like pulling back in order to release, but I have not released yet. Like, I'm still in that pulling back mode, which is like very jarring after essentially 3 or 2.5 years of like constant arrow releases, like boom, 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 boom. So it's kind of humbling to be in this period still. That being said, there are definitely some great things coming down the pipeline that I think will be the initial release of this bow and arrow. I have been working on my first lower ticket course for so long now. As I mentioned, my introduction into what I do now was a higher ticket group coaching program. So I've never had something that's just relatively easy for people to buy, because everything has had my involvement in it, as in my time on calls, my live coaching, and so on. So it's called, and Teresa, I know you are familiar with it, it's called the Video Editing Rodeo. And it is a course.
It's amazing. Focusing,
thank you, entirely on learning how to edit reels and TikToks. Because what I've found is that we have been thrown into this world of short form video content. And there's like, we're all expected to be editors, but there's no formal training. And so, you know, yes, I teach the strategy, like, and that's what I talk on, that's what my programs are on. But this is like the technical skills needed to use the editing app CapCut to create this beautiful foundation of editing skills, to learn how to create vlogs and tutorials and talking to camera videos, simple transitions, editing to the beat of the music, etc. I've been working on this for so long and I am still working on it. I can't wait for it to
phenomenal.
Be done.
Phenomenal.
But
it is phenomenal.
Thank you. But I think in the next few months it will be finally released, and I can't wait for that, because that's been a long time coming. So that's the next big thing in the pipeline.
Awesome. And I'm telling you, for anybody, Social Media Saloon is still open, correct?
It's actually not. So I haven't run it for about a year, getting close to a year and a half now. And so my overall thought is I'm going to get the Video Editing Rodeo launched, And I really do miss running a group coaching program. So I do have the Social Media Saloon trademarked. I don't want to lose that name. So I think I'll probably continue to use that as my group coaching program, but it needs a major revamp because I think what worked for group coaching programs in 2020, 2021, even 2022, it's a different world now. So I will be making some big changes to help both my students and make it optimized for them, but also make it optimized for me and not have it completely take over my life, which full transparency is what it did when I was running it.
Gotcha. But if people, you're going to be launching the video editing rodeo soon.
The video editing rodeo is coming soon. Yeah.
Oop. Hold on, everybody.
Yeah. No, I see that on my end too.
Hold on, Jer.
Yep.
Where are you?
Am I there?
Oop.
Hold on. Do you hear me?
Yep. Okay.
Okay.
There we go. We lost you for a minute. So the video editing rodeo, that is definitely, that's coming out soon.
Yes.
And I highly, highly, highly recommend it. Even if you know what you're doing, she gives you so many more additional tips and things that you can do. I am pretty techie and I learned all kinds of new things. So yes, definitely check out the video editing rodeo when Jera launches it.
Heck yeah.
So I have one final question.
Please.
What is your North Star? No matter what you do in your business, no matter what no matter what you've done in your career, no matter what you do in your business now, or no matter what you do moving forward, what is always your North Star?
Oh gosh, that's a great question, but it's a hard one. It's a hard one because remember, like what I said earlier, I will say one of my weaknesses, like, is that bigger picture. That's like why I think working with a business coach originally was so powerful, because I need someone to like help me see that. So like, I love that question, but for me, it almost gives me like, oh my gosh, like, do I have a North Star? Just because it doesn't feel inherent, but I'll just kind of go with my gut. And I think it's a mixture of like, I'll just kind of talk this through with what comes out. I think it's kind of a mixture of like authenticity, humor, and like really caring about people. Like I think in this day and age, there's so much out there where it's like, do this hack, put this hook on your reel and buy my guide and you'll make $100,000. And I'm like, what? Like, what are people doing? And the poor people who are like buying this stuff. So I think really like bringing my passion and like my care for actually helping to provide transformation and really putting my time and energy into people so that when they work with me, whether it's in a coaching program, whether it's listening to me speak, they are truly getting something out of it because of the time and energy I've invested in it that they can then take, apply to their business, apply to their social media, and find some sort of transformation, whether we're talking little or whether we're talking big. So that's not a succinct answer, but if I've never been asked that before, and so I had to like talk it out. And so hopefully that's kind of, we can wrap that in a bow a little bit.
No, it's perfect. It's perfect. Mine is helping people to achieve their dreams by helping them to make the impossible totally possible.
I love that. Okay, I'm going to work on my sentence.
My
non-rambly sentence.
No, it's wonder. And it's the thing, I have struggled with anxiety. I have struggled with going through challenges and obstacles. And I think the thing that keeps me going is getting up in the morning and saying to myself, you know what? Like, I am here to help people no matter what it is, whether it's a group coaching program, whether it's the one-on-one work that I do, whether, it's podcasting or whatever it is, it's always helping people to get them to see that they can make their dreams come true.
Yeah.
And make the impossible possible.
It's beautiful.
So, and I'll tell you what, Jer, you like helping, like just, it comes through so much, no matter what you do, no matter how you interact with people, how much you do truly care about people. And like I said, you see people as individuals in your programs, in your coaching, when you're speaking, you see people as individuals and you really do help people, because you've helped me do this, to really pull out who they really truly are and share that with the world. And that is a gift that so many people need, but it's a truly unique gift that not many people have the ability to do that. Yeah. So, on your sentence.
Yes. That's where we can end it. Working on my sentence. Yeah. No. I hear you.
Sentence. Mic drop. So before we leave, thank you so very much. I mean, this was like jam-packed full of so much greatness. I mean, I have written so many notes. I'm so super excited for people to hear about your quadrants, your secret sauce, yes. Because that was mind-blowing for me. I've never seen anybody teach it like that before, ever.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. And it just makes it like so much like people can just, it's so accessible or so real for people. So thank you. Thank you so very much for joining us.
Thank you.
So before I let you go, tell people where they can find you.
You can find me on Instagram, Jara Bean. I do have a dot in between. So Jara.Bean, Jara.Bean on TikTok. You can find me on Threads. Like, I'm loving Threads these days. It's just a blast over there. LinkedIn, I'm Jara Fosterfell, and JaraBean.com if you want to see my website.
Awesome. Well, thank you so very much, Jara. We'll have to have you on for part two.
Yes.
After you launch the video editing rodeo, please. And just to see what else you're doing.
Heck yeah.
So, but thank you so very much. And for everyone listening, thank you for joining us this week. And as we always say, like, let's all try and take care of each other just a little bit more than we already do. So, all right, everybody, take care. Hey there. Thank you so much for listening. If you found value on the show, please follow the podcast so you never, ever miss an episode. And I would love, love, love if you would leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify for me. Even better, share the show with a fellow business owner ready to step fully into their CEO leadership role. Because right now, more than ever, the world really needs next level leaders. And by the way, did you know you can text me all your questions and get real-time feedback? Absolutely can. Just text the word CEO to me at 610-215-2838 to get connected. One last goodie for you before I go. If you're ready to scale your business and have a co-creator working right by your side, my C-Suite Mentor Program may be perfect for you and your possible new second in command. Just visit thecsuitementor.com to get started.